It has been said that your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. That's good, isn't it? In other words, your attitude determines how high you'll go in life. Your attitude determines how far you will go in life. Attitude, though, is the key. So you tell me, where do you think your attitude, where do you think your attitude is going to take you? The good news about attitude that I've tried to speak again and again to you, and I'm going to repeat right now, is that you can choose your attitude. Your attitude, the attitude you have, is your choice. So that if you've got a stinking attitude, guess what? You chose it. Your attitude is your choice. And more than that, and what we're going to look at today is that, in fact, you can train your attitude. You can train for a winning, positive, Christ-like attitude. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open them to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 21 this morning as we look at how to train for a winning, positive, Christ-like attitude. These are the words of the Apostle Paul written to the church in Philippi, but also the church here in Belfair. Hear God's word through the Apostle Paul for us this morning. Not that I have already obtained this. Remember what Paul was saying last week. I want to know Christ. I want to know him fully. I want to know him intimately. I want to know Christ. He says, not that I have already attained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. That's the truth. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies one day so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen? Let's pray. God, use your word this morning to speak to us. By your Holy Spirit, take the words that I'll speak here this morning, Lord, and apply them to hearts very personally, so that in our leaving today, there will be a sense not that we heard from Pastor Brian, but that we heard from the Lord. Lord, blot me out. Eclipse me. Let people see Jesus this morning. Let people hear Jesus this morning. Your still small voice, I pray. And we ask that for ourselves. We ask it for one another. And the church said, amen. 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 In this morning's passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is using this metaphor or a picture of running a race to help us understand the training that is involved in having a winning, positive, Christ-like attitude. People will often say to me, you know, I try to have a positive attitude, or I have tried to have a positive attitude, and it just didn't happen. I got with this person, and this person said this, and all of a sudden my attitude went south. I try, but I can't stay positive. I want you to listen to me. What we're talking about this morning, is not trying to have a positive attitude. I'm not talking about trying to have a positive attitude. This morning, I want you to kind of see it through the lens of training. I'm talking about training to have a positive, Christ-like, winning attitude. Having an authentic, positive attitude requires more than you and I just trying every once in a while, or maybe for several attempts, and then saying, you know, I tried, and I failed, and there you give up. It requires a training that you commit to, that you involve yourself in, that requires you practicing and training until you get it. Are you hearing me? I'm not talking about trying to have a positive attitude once or twice or several times. I'm talking about you being committed to training. And so let me just invite you to kind of repeat with me. I'm training for winning attitude. Say that with me. I'm training for winning attitude. One more time. Say it with passion. I'm training for a winning attitude. I'm not just trying. I'm here to train. I'm here to train until I get this attitude of Christ Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul, he begins by saying, not that I have already attained this. I love this about Paul. He says, not that I've already attained this or have already arrived at this goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What I appreciate about this is that he's saying, he's acknowledging, I haven't arrived at this. I haven't attained this. God is still working on me, he's saying. This is a process for me, he's saying. I'm still working on this. I'm still training. But he's not giving up. And so he's comfortable admitting that he's far from a finished product, and he's testifying to God's patience with people who aren't where they ought to be spiritually. And that's reassuring to me because I'm not where I ought to be spiritually. I'm in process. Be patient with me. I'm not there yet, but I'm heading there. I'm making progress because I'm training. I'm not just trying, I'm training. And what Paul is doing is encouraging us into a process where he goes on to explain, just like a coach, that this training is just like running a race. It's just like running a race. You're not going to be able to one day simply say, you know what, I think today I'm going to have a Christ-like attitude. And you go out and you try to have a Christ-like attitude. It doesn't happen that way. And I'm not selling that to you. I'm not saying that what we're talking about, you're going to go away today and all of a sudden you're going to have a Christ-like attitude. I mean, that would be as crazy as you saying, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to run a marathon, 26.1 miles. Yeah. Not even Pastor Jamie. I know she walks on water, but no, not even Pastor Jamie. Okay? You don't just wake up one day and decide that tomorrow you're going to do a marathon. What you have to do is you say, you know what? I'm going to go into some training, and I'm going to begin. I think I can begin with a half mile. And you run a half mile every morning, a half mile, and you build up your strength. You build up your endurance. And then you say, you know what? I think I'm going to take that half mile. I think I'm going to do 3 miles in a couple of weeks here. Yes, I'm going to do 3 miles. And then you are at 3 miles, and then you say, you know what? I'm going to move to 5 miles. I'm going to move all the way until my endurance is such, my strength is such, that I can run what constitutes a running marathon, 26.1 miles. It doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen. You don't get to a 26.1 mile marathon even in a month, or in 2 months, or 3 months. For people like me, it's probably a year-long commitment to get to that. Paul's saying, This is the plan. It's going to be like you running a race. But here's the plan. It begins with this process, and it's just one thing. I'm just one thing. One thing I do. And just like a good coach, he's breaking it down so it's real, real simple. There's just one thing. This just involves one thing that actually involves three pieces or three parts that involves a forgetting, a straining ahead, and a pressing on. One thing that involves three things: forgetting, straining, and pressing on. Repeat those with me. It involves what? Forgetting, straining, and pressing on. One more time. Forgetting, straining, and pressing on. It involves this. It involves, first off, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. In order to run a race, you've got to leave the starting blocks. You got to leave the starting blocks behind. I've discovered that there are a lot of people who do not leave the starting blocks, who don't even enter the race. Some people don't even enter the race, all because of fear. They have this idea that if they don't enter the race, if they don't leave the starting blocks, they won't fail. That if I don't commit myself, then there's no possibility of failure. And there are some people who exempt themselves from running life's race all because of fear. They're absolutely terrified of failing. And so they never, ever leave the starting blocks. So the first thing, Paul says, is that you've got to forget your past. You've got to forget your past failures. Forget your past failures. We all have them. But some people never run the race because they allow their past failures to hold them hostage. They allow their past failures to define them. You've got to leave. Paul says you've got to leave. You've got to leave your past behind. Don't allow your past failures to define you. Do not give your past failures that kind of power over your life. Because all a failure is, I mean, sometimes how we define failure, and for me, I spent some months, if not a year, just personally in my personal walk with God, looking at the whole idea of failure. Because for me, it was a trigger for me. And one of the things I discovered is that I define failure like a lot of us do. I define failure as I'm a failure. That if I was not successful, I was a failure. That a missed opportunity, or if I'm not successful at something, that all of a sudden defines me as a failure. And a lot of people define failure that way, when in fact, all failure is I wasn't successful at that attempt. That's all it was. I mean, you think about this. I'm inviting you to think as a church. Just think about this. All you just didn't fail at that attempt. That's all it was. How do we get so quickly over here? I failed at that attempt and I'm a failure. No, you just weren't successful at that one attempt. Now, if you're committed to trying, then I can understand how you get over here. Because I tried and I failed, and therefore I'm a failure. But if you have the training idea in mind, the training concept in mind, I simply am training and I tried this once and I wasn't successful. And what do you do in training? You quit? No, you say, I got to keep working at this, and I'll keep working at this until I get this. A lot of us, because of our definition of failure and identifying ourselves so closely with not being successful, are failing as being a failure. We have allowed those failures to define us. that because we failed in the past, we will fail in the future. Paul is saying you got to leave some stuff behind if you're going to run the race. So here's the one thing. You got to leave your past behind. I read about this young man who at age 21 was in business. And in fact, he failed miserably in business. But he was only 21. So he decided politics. He went into politics, and he was defeated in the legislature at age 22. So he went back to business, and he tried business again. And at age 24, guess what? He failed again. At age 26, he was getting serious with a young lady, but she died. And he had a nervous breakdown at age 27. He lost a congressional race at 34. He lost a senatorial race at 45. He failed to become vice president at age 47. He lost a senatorial race at 49, but he was elected president of the United States at the age of 52. The man's name was
Abraham Lincoln,
who refused to let his past failures define him, who was absolutely committed to pressing on. But it required him forgetting what was behind him. I've messed up. You've messed up. You've been unsuccessful at some things. I've been unsuccessful at some things. But all of that doesn't need to define you and me. That may have been what we were, but of all people, you and I understand that when we come into Christ, He does something with our past. He forgives us. I mean, of all people, you and I ought to know this, that our past, that past stuff that I would never want projected on the screen, my past, I would not want projected on the past. I mean, that film is burned. That's gone. I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. And not only that, the scripture says he begins to make us this brand new creation. We get a do-over. We get a fresh page. So why are you looking back? Why are you allowing your past failures to define you, to hold you hostage? Paul says, forget it. Forget your past failures. And while I'm speaking of forgetting some things, forget this. Could I suggest, and this might surprise you, forget your past successes. Some people, in my mind, live as has-beens. They imagine their best days back then. And some of us who find ourselves towards the end of the book of our lives, towards the end of our race in life, you know what I'm talking about. Those of us who have some seasoning, some experience, we can make some decisions like, you know, my best days were in the past, and I don't know if you've thought about what that does. But it doesn't keep you in the race. It limits you, and it limits what you imagine God could do in your life. And I want to suggest that you not only forget your past failures, forget your past successes as well. Don't imagine that your best days are in the back of you, but imagine, open yourself to the possibility that your best days are right now. Your best days are ahead of you. Weekly, I get with a bunch of guys who just happen to all be hockey players. And so Thursday morning, 6:30, we meet at a coffee shop. We reserve the table, and so they know we're there every week. And normally we go to about 8:15. This week it went a little bit longer because we really got into it. And one of the guys by the name of, his name is Jim.
And Jim was asking me some questions at the end. He said, you know, Brian, given what you're talking about, and we were talking a little bit about attitude, just what we're talking about here this morning. He said, Brian, when I was a kid, my goal in life was to make it to the NHL, the National Hockey League. I wanted to be a pro hockey player. That was my one goal. And he said, I worked hard for it. My one goal was to make it to the NHL. And he said, you know what, Brian, I worked hard, and it wasn't just me working hard, but in order to make it to the NHL, a lot of things have to happen. Some of it's luck, some of it's who you know and who you get a chance to try out for. But he said, by God's grace, I made it to the NHL. This is a guy who played in the NHL. I could give you his full name, and you could go online and you could see him play, actually see him fight in the NHL. Some of his fights are kept. We have had some fun with Jim about that. But Jim said, you know, interesting, Jim said, I made it to the NHL, and I had this feeling like, is this it? He said, what I realized in talking with you this morning is that you're pointing out that I had a goal that I reached. It wasn't a goal to make the NHL and score 20 goals a season. It wasn't to make it to the NHL and be in the NHL for 10, 15 years. I made it to the NHL, and that was my goal. I limited God, and he said, you know what, I didn't have at the time, Brian. I'm glad I've got you in my life. He said, Brian, I had no one to challenge me to go beyond just making it to the NHL. And so for a number of years, I was stuck wondering what God's plan was for my life. I think he's discovering God's plan for his life. Jim is now the chaplain for the NHL Kraken team, which is really, really cool. His best days, he thought, were behind him. He made the NHL. His best days are right now and ahead. God is using him in a tremendous way. And some of you who have assigned yourself to the bench because your best days are behind you, I'm calling you out this morning. Amen. Your best days are today. Amen. Because this is the day you have. You don't have those days. They're memories. Your best days are right now and ahead. And so Paul says, this is the one thing I do. First part of it is I'm going to leave the past behind. And then he says, leave your past behind, leave your past failures behind, leave your past successes behind, and then strain toward what is ahead. Strain towards what is ahead. To have a positive, winning, Christ-like attitude, our focus needs to be future focus, not backward focus. Listen, There's a reason that the windshield in your automobile is larger than the rear view mirror. Where you are heading is more important than what you left behind. Amen. What is ahead of you is more important than what is behind you. So strain forward. Forget what is behind, strain forward. I like what Ella Fitzgerald says. She said, it isn't where you came from, but where you're going that counts. Strain forward. Where are you going? What are you heading toward? What are you straining toward and making progress toward? You see, straining suggests to me some sense of putting in an effort. Training in a winning attitude is this process that is much like training in a gym. And since I had two back-to-back rotator cuff injuries as a result both of hockey, I started in a gym called Engineered Sports in Everett. It is where our local hockey team works out, and I started to rehab there on my shoulder. One set of one procedure, the first procedure probably took me about 9 to 10 months. And the second one wasn't any easier. In fact, when you know what you've got to go through, because you've been through it already, the second time, mentally, it's just more challenging. And I have a lot of respect for professional athletes who have to rehab. It is not only a physical challenge, it is more importantly, in my mind, a mental challenge. It's so easy to say, it's just too hard, I can't do it, you give up. As a result, I have continued at Engineered Sports. My wife, who had a knee surgery, she decided to keep up with me. So every week we are there, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it's why we come down the road here middle of the morning on Tuesdays, because we're in at the gym at about 8 o'clock in the morning to do our exercise. But one of the things that is fairly obvious to anyone who goes to a gym is that you can go to a gym and you can put in a big workout, good workout, and you can go home and look in the mirror, and I don't know if you've ever done this. There's no change. I mean, after my first workout, I mean, I really sweated. I mean, I lifted weights. I mean, I was pushed. And I went home, there was no change. I looked, there was no change. After a week, there was no change. 3 weeks, no change. It's after months. You begin to see, at this point in my life, some muscle return, but much better balance, and my endurance increase after months. Universally, I think here's what people think. People imagine that they can accomplish so much in the short time with one big effort, that if I just give it my all this one time, it will happen. And they underestimate what can happen with small efforts over the long period of time. It happens in the spiritual life as well. We imagine if I make this one big commitment to Jesus today, and I mean I say I'm all in, and today I did it, tomorrow life is going to be completely different. Let me tell you, life change in general does not happen in the short term with one big effort. That's trying. It happens with little commitments made consistently over time bring great results. Paul's personal goal was that he wanted to know Jesus. And every single day, that was his commitment, to make progress to know Jesus more and more. Do you have any goals in your life, any commitments in your life that every single day you are making a commitment to those goals, those commitments every single day? That's what's involved in training. I mean, rather than imagine before you leave here today that you give your whole life to Jesus and this big commitment is going to change everything this coming week, could I suggest that instead of making that commitment, that you make this commitment? Today, I'm going to make a commitment that every single day I'm going to spend 5 minutes. It could be as little as 5 minutes. Let me challenge you to consider 10 minutes. 10 minutes reading a portion of Scripture and praying, talking to Jesus, so that you get to know him more and more. And I guarantee you, you will be much further down the track in 30 days than if you made a big commitment today. Just you making a commitment to Jesus, 5 minutes or 10 minutes every single day. I'm pleased that one of the commitments I have is that I want to learn Spanish. And last night, I got to 169 days every single day, at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day on Duolingo, studying my Spanish. 169 days. Part of my commitment is I want to be in God's Word every single day. And so I referenced last week, if you do not have a Bible app, please consider YouVersion Bible app that will come to you every single morning. Every single morning I get a verse or a portion of Scripture, and oftentimes I will post those on my Facebook page. If you follow me, if you track with my Facebook page, you'll see that I do that. Why do I do that? It is a discipline. I have made a commitment to being in God's Word daily, and I want to be in God's Word daily because I know that if I get to hear from God, from His Word, if I talk with God, I get to know Him, I know that in the long run, I'm going to become more and more like Jesus. It's straining. And sometimes in the spiritual life, a lot of times in church life, we have a lot of people sitting on the bench rather than exercising. It's one of the reasons that while I've been here, I haven't been inviting you to get up off the bench and you to get on the platform to tell children's stories, to do calls to worship, to do ministry. Why? We're called to be in the race. We're called to be in the game. You want to grow to be an effective encourager of other people? Let me suggest this to you, that you give 5 minutes every day, and it might be as you come out of studying God's Word, praying with God, that you say, every single day I'm going to send a personal note of encouragement to somebody. And every single day you're practicing writing encouraging notes. Guess what? In 30 days, you will be at a different place, much different place. You will be a serious encourager of the people. It's straining ahead. And then Paul says this final thing. He says, having forgotten the past, having strained ahead, I'm pressing on toward the goal to win the prize. Running the race requires a pressing toward the goal, the finish line. You see, it's one thing to begin a race. It's quite another to actually finish the race. What is required to finish races is this quality called endurance, perseverance, no-quit attitude. In fact, in our home, one of our values, and I never had a team meeting of my family to talk about this, but we just, all of us, if you asked our family members, our kids, what is one of the core values of our family, they would say, Harples, do not quit. And I'll oftentimes will add, for good or for bad, we'll stay in there. We'll get our nose bloodied. We may get knocked down, but we don't quit. What is required to finish races well is endurance, perseverance. Because a spiritual life is a long life, and you don't want to fade before the finish. I had a seminary professor, Dr. Dale Moody, who used to say, a faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the first. Let me say it again. A faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the first. Is that good? You don't want to fizzle. You don't want to fizzle. And that's why Hebrews 12:1 says this. It coaches us this way. It says, run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. I thought about that phrase, the race marked out for me. It made me think that, you know what, there are different kinds of races. There's the 100-yard, 100-meter. There's a 3,000-meter. There's a relay. All kinds of races. There are different races. There's a race marked out for us. And all I'd want to say is be careful you don't compare yourself with anybody else because their race might be different. Whatever your race is, you run your race. Your race might be a 100-meter. Your race might be a 3,000 meter. Whatever your race is, run your race. But be careful you're not competing. The key is just run your race to finish. The goal is to finish well. What we need today are more people who are committed to finishing and finishing well. This leg of the race that we're all involved in, the world in which we live right now, and Annie did a great job just kind of encapsulating or describing our world right now. It's a really challenging world, isn't it? I think it's challenging a time to run the race as any time that I've been on planet Earth. So easy to be discouraged. So easy to quit. And speaking of quitting, there is this new term in our vocabulary now called quiet quitting. Quiet quitting. People are just quitting their jobs, quietly just walking away or not showing up. It's happening everywhere. It happens in churches. People just quietly walk away, quietly don't show up. What we need are people who understand that the race needs to be finished and who have perseverance and endurance, who have a no-quit attitude, who will say, I will run and run to the finish line. Knowing that there will be challenges, there will be things that will discourage us. We may even, and we will all, go down on the track sometime. Just like the video we just saw of Derek Redmond in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. Sometimes we will go down on the track. Just don't stay down. You're here this morning and you say, you know what, I've gone down on the track. Seriously, spiritually, I really, really fell. Your enemy is going to tell you you're disqualified. You have disqualified yourself and you don't deserve to be in church. You don't deserve to be in ministry. You don't listen to your enemy. All of us will go down on the track during the course of our race. But get up. Rest if you need to, but don't stop. Just get up. Because we have a Heavenly Father, just like Derek's father ran onto that track and wrapped his arms around his son and protected his son. I mean, he wouldn't let anyone interfere with what his son wanted to do. His son, I've listened to some other testimonies from his son. His son, just at that point, wanted to finish. Nothing was going to stop him. Nothing. No chance of his winning. Because it's not about winning races so much as it is finishing well, being faithful, faithful. So the author of the book of Hebrews tells us to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. How? Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith, or the starting line and the finishing line of your faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross. He gutted it out. Seeing its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary, so that you will not grow weary, lose heart, and give up. Keep your eyes. Do you want us to finish well? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because there have been many, many times over the course of 40 years, 40 plus years of ministry, I felt like quitting. I got some good advice from some mentor pastors who are older than me, experienced. They said, never decide to quit on Monday. Sundays, weekends are really challenging for pastors. And we get hit with a lot. So that was pretty good advice. But here's the other thing that probably has kept me in ministry for over 40 some years. Every time I thought about quitting, and I have thought about quitting, I have really entertained quitting. I thought about the man on that middle cross, toughing it out, gutting it out. And knowing what he did for me, staying on that cross, I can't give up. I just keep my eyes fixed on him. And stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. Life is not going to get easier. I think it's going to get harder. But that doesn't matter, because my eyes aren't on those things, the things that are around me, so much as the one who is in me, Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes on him, and I'm going to finish the race. And I challenge you to do the same. So how about bowing your heads for a moment? I just want to give an opportunity for you to kind of make some personal commitments of your life to Jesus. And so let me just invite you to think about whether you're here this morning, and maybe what God has been saying to you more than anything else is that, you know what, your past has really been a problem for you. And this morning, you want to make a commitment to him. God, you helping me, I want to leave my past behind. All right. Or maybe this morning, the message that Jesus has for you, God has for you, is this, that you need to just step up your commitment to straining ahead. That you've been playing it safe and easy. That you've been living a fairly comfortable life, but maybe you need to push yourself just a little bit, and you need to say, I'm asking Jesus, you to push me just a little bit. Push me to make a commitment. And maybe it's the commitment to be in his word every single day. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking. How many of you are at a point in your life and you say, you know what, I just want to finish well. I don't want to screw it up. And so my prayer today is, God, help me not to mess it up. I want to run my race all the way to the end. I want to close my eyes one day and then all of a sudden see more perfectly than ever. I want to see your face, and I want to hear you say, well done. And so, God, you have us this morning. You've given us a good word, one thing, to leave our past, to strain ahead, to press toward the goal, keeping our eyes fixed on you. Help us make little commitments here today that we will carry on consistently every day from this point on to see great benefits and great change come to our lives. I pray this, and we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen.